You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
And we welcome you into the Gym Class here at KGYM on the sunny and warm Monday, April the 5th. Mother Nature must know it is Masters Week underway at Augusta National. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. Here at 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and your smart speaker. Scott Unash with you from our studios on the southwest side. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his back porch. A sunny one today on the southwest side. And you, our listener, the most important piece of the puzzle out there. We welcome you in. 1600 AM and the rest of the frequencies, as we mentioned. Good show. Mike Colas will join us coming up in just a little bit. Plenty to talk about. Luca Garza cleaning up on just about every award. He's got one more to go, and that is the Wooden Award coming up tomorrow. That will be announced the day after the Final Four wraps up. Final Four coming up tonight. We'll get Mike's thoughts on that. We'll get your thoughts on that, as well as your thoughts about perhaps the greatest Final Four game ever. Was that what it was on Saturday night? The overtime thriller between Gonzaga and UCLA. We'll kick that around and take a look at the weekend that was in the world of sports. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on this beautiful Monday, where we have some breaking news from the National Football League coming down the line. Mark, good afternoon, first of all.
Good afternoon, Scott. Yeah, I just saw that, and we can pretty much go ahead and inform people, I think.
Yeah, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, the Carolina Panthers may have a brand new starting quarterback, as Sam Darnold has been, according to Adam, has been traded from the New York Jets to the Carolina Panthers for draft choices. A sixth rounder, yes, sixth rounder this year, and then a second and fourth rounder coming up in the year 2022. Jets have been hot on the trail of a quarterback in the draft. They have allegedly landed on the Brigham Young quarterback, the former Brigham Young quarterback. They've fallen in love with him, and they are making room by having their draft choice, their top draft choice of a couple of seasons ago, Sam Darnold, didn't lead them to the playoffs as quickly as humanly possible, so he is out the door in this new world of the National Football League. I kid, of course, there a little bit. But now he's going to go to the Carolina Panthers and try to win a job down there with Carolina.
Yeah, that's very interesting. A couple standpoints. We know that Zach Wilson from Brigham Young has been on the Jets' radar, and moving Darnold kind of enables that. On the surface, it doesn't seem like the Jets got a whole lot of value out of a former number one draft pick. You know, sixth this year and then a second and a fourth. Of course, it all depends on who you get in those slots, but I think that was the most interesting part for me.
Yeah, I think so. How quickly things fall as far as quarterbacks are concerned in the National Football League these days. He's going to compete, I would imagine, with Teddy Bridgewater for the number one spot as far as Carolina is concerned. And we talked to Dan Shonk on Friday of Our Lad Scouting Service. If you missed that particular conversation, you can go back and listen to it at kgynradio.com, as well as Apple and Spotify. They've got those podcasts available and ready to go. Some very good questions and interactions with Dan on Friday. And I think we're going to see more and more wheeling. I think we're going to see a lot of wheeling and dealing over the next 3 weeks, getting ready for the 2021 NFL Draft.
Yeah, I would assume so, too. Just a lot of maneuvering that could be done already. The three-way trade with Miami and Philadelphia and San Francisco. Wasn't as actually a three-way trade, mainly facilitated by Miami, but that kind of got things kick-started, and now we've got the Darnold development. And yeah, I agree. I think there's going to be maybe a great deal more, but certainly more.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment. The Jets and the Panthers making a trade right there. And a lot of people just kind of going, scratching their heads. And the same thing that you're talking about, Mark, already, the very early going as far as takes from this. Is that all the Jets can get from a former top five draft choice like Sam Darnold? Is that so? Yeah, a lot of people kind of wondering about that out there. 10 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Michael Oss going to join us in about 20, 25 minutes or so as we come your way on the national championship night. Hopefully the men's game will be as good as A, yesterday's women's championship game, and B, somewhat close and can hold a candle to what happened in that semifinal, the second one on Saturday night between Gonzaga and UCLA. But we'll have it tonight for you, beginning with the pregame coverage at 6 o'clock on Westwood One. All of our frequencies will have that, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 in Iowa City, and the Jim OT 107.5 FM, all bringing you the games, the game coming up tonight, the one everybody wanted to see between Gonzaga and Baylor. And by the way, Todd, who is back in studio today, great to see. I had him do a little homework for me before the show here today because, of course, our I'm On Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge will conclude tonight. Grand prize winner is going to get $500 in cash, winner take all. Thanks to I'm On Communications for helping us out with that. Again, this year we do appreciate them. We appreciate everybody that got on board with it. But we've got the sheet that is in first place right now is a 60-point cushion, and they have Baylor tonight winning. The second place sheet has Gonzaga winning. And I don't believe the final is worth 60 points. It usually is not quite that high. So I got to think we already have a winner in the bag. They've got it. They're like Iowa wrestling. They have it all sewed up in the pigtails and in the place matches.
Yeah, it would seem so. I don't think the championship game is going to be worth 60 points. But that would be a wonderful prize if you can survive this bracket challenge, which attracted, what, close to 400 entries.
Yep.
Really quite an achievement for whoever's going to win that. And we'll bring you the winner tomorrow. As far as tonight's game, well, let me put the poll question forward first, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, Steve Anderson and his team down there. The winner of tonight's game in Indianapolis will be Gonzaga or Baylor. And Scott, if it comes anywhere close to the semifinal between Gonzaga and UCLA, we're going to have a whale of a game. Of course, the women's game last night was a one-pointer, but I don't have the adjective to describe that game in the semifinals.
The question is out there, and love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. By the way, speaking of Todd and Alex, don't forget to every weekday at 5, tune in to KGYM's Drive Time. It's driven by Linder Tire with locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Speaking of that particular ball game, was that the greatest Final Four game ever? Final Four, semifinal slash final. There have been some good ones over the years. You know, Butler Duke comes to mind. But I think in my head that was the greatest Final Four game ever. I know that you say that and you kind of look back and you go, should I say that or not? Because it's fresh in your mind. You got to go back and search a little bit for some of the other great ones. Now, is it as good? Does it rival Duke and Kentucky from the spectrum back in the day? But that was a regional game, remember, Mark? That was a regional final, I believe, that game was. That was not a Final Four game, the Christian Laettner turnaround half-court pass shot against Rick Pitino and the Kentucky Wildcats. This is a Final Four game that was played on Saturday night. And the reason I'm going out on the limb and saying, in my opinion, I think it was the greatest Final Four game ever, is because you not only had a close game throughout with two quality teams, but they were playing at the top of their game. That was truly a matchup at the end you really didn't want to see anybody lose. And you can honestly say that. And then the ending added to it, because you had Jalen Suggs hitting the just inside half court running three to win it for Gonzaga to keep the dream alive as far as an undefeated season is concerned. That just added to the lore of it. And if UCLA would have done that, Tiger Campbell would have hit a half court shot, I'd be saying the same thing. It would have added to the lore of it. And we said UCLA needed to play an almost perfect game. Well, they almost played a perfect game. And still, Gonzaga played well and had enough to hold off UCLA.
Yeah, to answer your question, I don't have an answer because, for one, I think we tend to live in the present. As you kind of suggested, we immediately attach superlatives to games that we just saw. And the best Final Four game ever takes in a lot of territory. And suffice to say, it was just a really well-played back-and-forth ebb-and-flow game between an overall number one seed and a 14-point underdog that had to win a game to get into the field of 64. It was great theater. It really was, and it was capped off by the Suggs shot. Lucky? Okay, maybe. A low percentage, for sure. But it happened. And I don't want to say it's the greatest ever. I mean, I remember in 83 when Jim Valvano's North Carolina State team was a heavy underdog. And that Lorenzo Charles basket at the end set off, Valvano, running around the court looking for, that was high drama as well. But I don't think that was as well played game as this one.
Yeah, that would be my stake right there. That it wasn't quite as well played as this one was. 27-12 on the text line gives us two examples. Going way back, where is Pembroke Burroughs the III? Iowa versus Jacksonville.
That wasn't in the Final Four, though.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. That was in the regional final. That was in the regional final. And then Keith Smart's final shot for Indiana back in 1987.
I like that.
Yeah, that was a good game, too. That was a very, very good game. Indiana-Syracuse, I believe it was, back then between Boeheim and Robert Montgomery Knight right there. But there have been some great games. Great games. Danny and the Miracles, that was a good one, the final. But as far as teams just playing so well, UCLA shot the ball extremely well. From three, from regular distance. Both teams battled a little bit of foul trouble. Made some great, great plays. I know there's a lot of consternation as far as that charge at the end of the ball game. I thought it was a good call.
It was the right call.
I thought it was the right call. UCLA tying it there with a couple seconds remaining. No panic as far as Gonzaga is concerned. And they come down and they get one to go in. Just amazing. Just amazing. That game on Saturday night. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in, was it the best Final Four game ever? Text line, love to hear from you. Phone line as well, 319-366-1600. One I'd put with it, according to 45-70, is the 80-77 double overtime win for North Carolina State over UCLA back in 1974. Yes, I was old enough to have seen it.
Nice.
That was the David Thompson North Carolina State team against Jamal Silk Wilkes and, of course, the voice of the Conference of Champions, Bill Walton.
Good offering there.
Yes, who I enjoyed immensely, by the way, on our Westwood One coverage for the Final Four on Saturday, and we'll be on it again coming up this evening. Bill Walton's got a lot of great insights when he's not doing Buffalo impressions and things like that.
Well, it's an acquired taste, that's for sure. And extremely knowledgeable guy, got a sense of humor, and he adds a different touch to broadcasts.
There he does. Yes, he does. Wasn't the greatest game ever. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in here at 21 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Andy on the text line, I do think it was the greatest Final Four game ever. There were some absolutely jaw-dropping plays, starting with Suggs' block and pass for the dunk. Yeah. How amazing is Jalen Suggs? I mean, he's not the greatest shooter to ever come down the line. He's a streaky shooter, but he's not a great three-point distance guy. I think he'd do a lot better if he'd step in, get that mid-range going a little bit, and I think that will come as far as the NBA is concerned, where his next stop is going to be. But that block he made was just absolutely incredible. And every time I see Jalen Suggs, I just think more and more that is a better version of Jason Kidd.
Yeah, you're speaking about a guy that was multi-talented in high school, a recruiting target of Iowa and Iowa State football and Iowa basketball. I think he chose the right sport, Scott. And I know he feels he selected the right school. It's going to be interesting to see how he develops in the National Basketball Association, but terrifically talented, no question about it.
Yeah, very much so. Very, very much so. And, man, he is outstanding. He is outstanding. Game tonight is going to be very, very good between Gonzaga and Baylor. And we'll start off talking about it now, talk a little bit more about it after Michael Loss. But Davion Mitchell going up against Jalen Suggs, perhaps. Love to see those two guard each other in a man-to-man situation. I think that's going to be fun. The interior is going to be very, very good. The matchups there. I think Kispert's probably going to try to step out a little bit more and try to shoot the threes, things like that. Can Timmy do what he does inside against Baylor's bigs? This thing, it's a game I think everybody wanted to see, Mark, at the beginning of the year. And this doesn't happen very often in the world of NCAA basketball that we get the best two teams in America playing in the championship game. So I think we should relish this tonight.
Yeah, and as you'll recall, Scott, these teams were scheduled to meet in early December. In the regular season, and COVID got in the way of that game. But you'd much rather see this matchup in April rather than December anyway. I got a funny feeling, Scott, though, that this isn't going to be as close as people think it's going to be. I think Gonzaga got its scare, and the experience and the opportunity there, I think, is something that Mark Few's club is going to take advantage of. Now, the one thing I will say, though, is the pressure of going through a season undefeated and matching what Indiana did in the mid-1970s. But just a feeling. I'm not suggesting someone put a bunch of money on the Zags to cover the point spread, whatever it is. I think it's maybe 4 or 5, but just my personal feeling.
319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. If you'd like to join us as our friend, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Bob Landis, joining us here on the program today at 324. Bob, good to hear from you. How are you?
Well, great. It's just good to hear from you guys. You both bring back a lot of memories to me. And at this point in my life, I've entered my ninth decade. And so I thought I'd better call. I don't know how much time I have. But I really appreciate you, and I just wanted to visit with you a little.
Well, great. And how about this game tonight? This should be a dandy. You don't get the best two teams often playing in the national championship.
No, I'm just going to say I think they're clearly the best teams. I like them both. I think they're very well coached in all aspects of the game. I think you don't see that so much anymore. You don't see a lot of really good defenses, and you see a lot of offenses, but you don't very often see the combination. And I think both these teams are very good offensively, and defensively they're solid. So, yeah, I think this is a very positive step for basketball, to be honest with you.
Hey, Bob, we had the retirement of Roy Williams, and it brings me back to the 1980s when you were at Linmar and the Anderson boys were there and Ohio State came in and plucked both of them. And yes. What was your experiences of major college coaches coming through and looking at your players?
Well, we had Heathcote and we had Eldon. And of course, John Anderson went to Arizona. Lute. He was number. John Anderson was Lute's number one recruit that year, and I had a lot of opportunities to visit with him, and as well as the other two guys. One interesting thing that happened was Heathcote and Eldon Miller came to the YMCA one night to watch one of the games he used to play down there, and it just happened that that John and Scott were both playing that night, and they were both the coaches were both really after John. Well, it just happened that night. John was just faring, and Scott Anderson was out of his mind, and so when I walked out of the gym. Eldon got a hold of me, and he said, Bob, I'd like to visit with you a little bit. I don't have a chance right now, but I'll get a hold of you. And I said, okay, fine. And I walked up the street, and Heathcote grabbed a hold of me, and he said, Bob, he said, I came here to see John, but he said, this Scott is really something. I'd like to have them both. And it turned out that both of those guys recruited him very heavy, and it just happened that that they went to Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah. Those games at the Y back in the day – they were. That was better than some college games.
Didn't like watching them, but it was. I thought that was kind of interesting. And of course, Eldon and LeBron and I became very close friends. And they ended up taking Cam Johnson when he was at UNI, and Cam had a great career there.
Yeah, certainly did. Certainly did. Who do you like tonight?
I'll tell you, I got to stay with Gonzaga. I've watched them several times this year. I think they got into a situation the other night that was kind of unusual for them. I think they've been holding teams to 27 points less than theirs over a long period of time. But I still think they've got all it takes to win the thing. I'm really high on that point guard as well. I think he's great. But I'm going to go with Gonzaga. I think it'll be a good game. I'd say maybe in the neighborhood of 10 or less.
Yeah, well. That'd be a good one. That'd be a good one. And hey, good to chat with you, Bob.
You guys are nice to take my call. I appreciate it. And best of everything to both of you.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bob Landis, the Hall of Fame coach at many different stops and many state titles, state tournament teams. Good to talk with Bob here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class at 3:28 here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. We're talking about the greatest Final Four games ever. And was Saturday night's the greatest as far as Final Fours, even though it was not the championship game? And what's going to happen tonight in Indianapolis as Gonzaga goes up against Baylor? Other things going on in the sports world, believe it or not, Mark. Besides the Final Four, you had big news as far as the golf world is concerned. After a four-year hiatus from the winner's circle, just in time to get the hype train really going to Augusta National, Jordan Spieth wins a golf tournament. He's been close, I finally got over the top in his native Texas and got the victory yesterday at the Valero Texas Open.
Yeah, he's been in the drought. He's battled some golf demons and otherwise, and finally has came all the way back and won a tournament and heading into the Masters, an event he has won before. There's a lot of Jordan Spieth fans out there, and I know a lot of folks really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, no doubt. NBC enjoyed it. certainly. Almost as much as somebody else perhaps winning. Not quite, but I think Jordan's kind of the Pied Piper right now, but we'll see. And so he is going on a high to Augusta. John Rahm, if you missed it this weekend, he and his, I believe they are married, so I'm going to say wife, did have a child over the weekend. And she was due next weekend. And John had said that if she went into labor, he would, no matter what was happening at Augusta National, if she went into labor, he was leaving the grounds, the hallowed grounds of Augusta National and the Masters, to go be with her and help with the delivery of the baby. But now they don't have to worry about that. John Rahm will be at Augusta National. Maybe a little late, but it'd be a great story. And another story, Mark. You've got Brooks Koepka, who is now coming off of injury once again. And he says that he is going to be at Augusta to play. He's not going to play a ton, has not played a ton. He's going to play nine holes today, tomorrow, and Wednesday to get ready. And he's going to tee it up. So you got a lot of... You always have intriguing storylines. You may have even more intriguing storylines going this year at Augusta National.
But don't you think there might have been some negotiation if Rahm had a 5-stroke lead heading into Sunday and his wife went into labor Saturday night?
I'm not even going to speculate.
I guess I don't want to go down that road, but good for them. And I'm so much looking forward to each and every year. Especially this year, the Masters starting Thursday.
Yep, and Wednesday we're going to have Caddy Smack coming your way right here on KGYM as we will preview the Masters, talk about your golf game, answer your questions out there for Brian Haas, our resident pro of Caddy Smack from down at Blue Top Ridge at Riverside. So tune in on Wednesday as we talk some golf with you on the program. Looking forward to that. I would imagine everybody with the weather like this has had an opportunity to get out and maybe get that first or second round in.
Most everybody.
Yeah, well, you had the opportunity. You just didn't partake. Yeah. You had a family obligation. You did a John Rahm.
My game is unlike his, though.
My name
was an easy choice.
My game will never be anywhere close to his. 319-366-1600 as we come your way at 3:33 here on the program. We're going to step aside, take a break, and come back. Mike Halas will join us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll talk about Luca Garza's awards. Going to need a bigger trophy case, that's for sure. I want to talk a little bit about his article on Caitlin Clark as well, and Iowa football getting started also, and the Final Four coming up tonight. All that and more. It is Gym Class for a Monday coming your way right here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
BetMGM makes the conclusion of March matchups even more exciting with a special offer for new customers. Sign up today for a chance to receive $100 in free bets when your $1 moneyline wager on any team to win the national championship turns out to be a winner. Just use bonus code HANSEN100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Experience the college hoopla like never before with the King of Sportsbook's innovative parlay selection features, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSEN100 to win $100 in free bets if your team wins the national championship. BetMGM is the place to bet with confidence on your favorite sports all year long. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Reimagine your outdoor living space with Alexander Lumber and Trex. Choose the enduring beauty and durability of Trex composite decking, engineered to eliminate time-consuming maintenance while offering superior scratch, fade, and stain resistance. You'll spend way less time taking care of your deck and a whole lot more time enjoying it. The experts at Alexander Lumber can't wait to help you create the deck of your dreams. Stop and see them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they customize every element for you. For a free consultation and site review, call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT and security puzzle.
Heading to the Solid Waste Agency on a Saturday? You need an appointment. Just make one at solidwasteagency.org. Saturday appointments help keep the lines down and traffic moving at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. So if you want to drop off recycling or garbage at the landfill or resource recycling building on a Saturday, you need an appointment. If that's not your thing, stop by during the week, because no appointment is needed Monday through Friday. Get details at solidwasteagency.org. Stay safe out there.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
And welcome back to the gym class here on KGYM at 3:36. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes. Buttons on the other side of the glass here today. National Championship Gonzaga and Baylor coming up tonight for you. We've got it at 6 o'clock with the pre-game show on all of our frequencies. Starting up this evening, number one versus number one as far as seeds are concerned. By the way, today in news, Mark, Jamie Pollard getting a contract extension as the athletic director for the Iowa State Cyclones. No raise per se, but he does get an extension. Had that news today. Plus, and we'll talk about this with Mike a little bit, but I think this is going to be not only a University of Iowa situation, but I think we're going to see this more and more with some other athletic departments. University is helping out the athletic department as far as the Iowa Hawkeyes are concerned.
Yeah, Pollard extended to 2026. And with Matt Campbell, extended to 2028. It's a very solid foundation. Pollard, one of the longest-running ADs in the country at this point. And, some creative and interesting news out of the University of Iowa.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And we'll get to it coming up here with our friend Mike Halas from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter as well, at Halas. And just about... He is as entertaining as Bill Walton. The two have a great admiration for one another. As Mike joins us here on the eve of the national championship game, and I bring this up each and every year to you, Mike. First of all, good afternoon.
Likewise.
You do remember this is the anniversary of the first edition, going way back to, I believe, 2001 of this show. So 20 years now we've been doing this show. But I talked to you at the outside the Metrodome in Minneapolis, the old Metrodome, when Arizona was playing for the national championship that night. Do you remember that?
Not at all.
I vaguely remember it.
He won't remember this show in a couple minutes.
I'm having trouble right now remembering who I'm talking to.
Justin Wessel is playing. That's the second time this weekend I brought up Justin Wessel playing in the Final Four. So, yes. But, just a brief...
Who did they play? I don't remember. Was it Duke?
Duke, yes.
Oh.
Yep. Arizona and Duke from the great Metrodome. You were always going to see a game there for baseball. Not the greatest venue as far as basketball is concerned. But at any rate, we move on. We move on here.
Are we moving on, though? Because it's 20 years and we're still doing this.
Well, it just means that we've got staying power and the audience loves us.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that.
Hey, Luca Garza needs a bigger trophy case, or Dad needs a bigger trophy case, or somebody needs a bigger trophy case. Some pretty great things happening to that young man right now, and he's got the biggest fish of all to catch, and that'll be coming up, I believe, tomorrow.
Yeah, he's been in Indianapolis the last few days, getting some of these presentations in person, which is a nice deal. And the way I understand it is that Frank Garza, Luca's dad, has been there since the Tuesday of the Big Ten tournament week.
Ooh.
Yeah, he got an Airbnb there and was going to stay there for the whole time, no matter what. And I thought at first that's kind of crazy, but then when I realized that, well, Luca's going to be coming back to the city no matter what to pick up some of these honors, it kind of made more sense.
Mike, since the Iowa basketball season is in the rearview mirror and Garza soon will be, I wanted to get your take. And I don't know how much you've thought about this, but the state of Iowa basketball going forward in terms of who's returning, who isn't, who may not. Will Fran McCaffrey take advantage of the transfer portal? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a question that's kind of hard to answer right now because there are unknowns.
Sure.
I mean, there are clear unknowns. First and foremost is the Joe Wieskamp thing. Is Joe Wieskamp gone or not? Now we don't know. But I think it's 95%, maybe even greater, that he's going to test the water. And I think, without me knowing this, that he's going to go. He's a junior. You got kind of spoiled here in Iowa because you got 4 years out of Garza, but that's a very rare deal. And I think that Wieskamp is ready to get on with the next step of his basketball life. But we don't know that, you know? I mean, the draft isn't until late July this year, and I assume that the deadline for staying in the draft is probably sometime in June. So a lot can happen between now and then. But, I mean, if you lose Wieskamp, that's your top returning scorer. That's a pretty big hole. Pretty big hole. You're already losing the number two scorer in the country, which is a hole that you have to find a lot of other ways to fill. And that's the question number two, is with Jack Nungy not coming back, what do you do in the middle? They don't have anybody. If you're counting on Josh Ogundele, who just came off his freshman year in which he played 17 minutes the entire season, you're dreaming. You know, he may have great potential. We don't know, but he's not ready to play 25 minutes a game in the post in a major college basketball. So I don't know what they're going to do. You got to get somebody, you would think, from the transfer portal. The trouble is there aren't that many great post players who are going to be available. And secondly, some of them have already gone to other homes. And it's kind of a conundrum. What are you going to do without that size? I don't know. The Jordan Bohannon thing, I don't have any inside knowledge on this, but I'd be extremely surprised if he actually came back. Do you keep everybody else then? You would assume so, but do you know that for sure, given how many players have already entered the transfer portal? No, you don't. So I'm sorry that I can't give you any kind of a definitive answer, but there isn't one, if you're being honest. And the next couple of weeks, I would think we learn a lot, but I don't know what those things will be.
Well, I think that's 2021 basketball now, or basketball since the transfer portal started. I mean, the days of building your program with a brand new coach, just starting over, are done. Because you can go get two or three guys. A great example is going to be in Ames. It's going to be interesting to see how TJ Otzelberger, he's not going to have a completely different roster. It's not completely gutted, but you better wear name tags that say, hello, my name is, for the first day of practice next year, to be certain. And, you know, you have the opportunity to take a big step. No matter where you are the prior year.
Sure, and why not? Otzelberger is going to follow the Hoiberg formula of you don't want to get your brains kicked in year one. Well, there's only one way to do that. You've got to get some players right away. That's what Hoiberg did. His first year, they were ordinary, but they weren't getting their teeth kicked in, and it gave them kind of a platform to then go from being ordinary to being really good. It's just the way of the college basketball world. It has been for a long time now. Some teams prefer not to do it that way, and I was one of them. Fran McCaffrey hasn't been a big user of the transfer portal. In fact, he got Bakari Evelyn. What was it, 2 years ago,
yep,
for one season, because he had a real need at guard. But he's not comfortable with players he doesn't know intimately, and he's a big believer in chemistry, and he's a big believer in not bringing in anybody who's going to, not be part of the, how shall I put this? Of the group who doesn't put who puts I over team. And well, that's tough. I mean, it's great to be very particular and to make sure that you've got everything there is that you want in human beings, but the practicalities of it, the realities of it in college basketball are, if you don't have enough Division I players, if you don't have enough Big Ten quality players, if you don't have enough size, enough athleticism, enough this, that, or the other thing, you're going to fall down. Otzelberger's already got two transfers over there in Ames, one from Washington State and one from Denver, and every time I think I turn on the computer, I see another transfer who he's at least made overtures to, and he's not alone. These players are everywhere. There's some very surprising players transferring. I was surprised and actually disappointed to see Joseph Yusufu of Drake go into the portal. Adam Miller at Illinois, that surprised me very much. And then I read that Adam Miller wants to do more than what he's been doing in his first year.
Does he know Dosunmu won't be there?
Okay. All right. Fine. We can laugh at this, but if you're not willing to play the game's going to, take laps around you.
Mike, I want to reference your piece on Caitlin Clark and more broadly, the embarrassment of riches, as you called it, with her and Spencer Lee and Luca Garza being on campus at the same time. And I wonder if you'd reflect on that a bit. And also, I think Ashley Jones from Iowa City named the Cheryl Miller Award winner, best small forward in the country. And that Iowa State women's game next year, in which both may be ranked in the top 10 for all we know, that's going to be much higher anticipated than an Iowa State men's game.
Yeah.
So you have the floor.
Yeah. Well, when they played last season, it was an incredible game.
Yeah.
it seems like a long time ago now, but it was December. They both topped 30 points in that one, as I recall, if I'm remembering that right. Yeah, the Caitlin Clark thing really struck me over the last week or two, because there have been a lot of Hawkeyes who've been, you know, on the national radar, and certainly Luka Garza. You couldn't listen to college basketball commentators anywhere this year when they weren't talking about Garza at some point. So it's not like anybody's gotten short shrift, but this Caitlin Clark thing is a different thing to me. The scope of the people, prominent sports people, who identified her so quickly and were impressed with her and publicly spoke about her. I haven't seen anything like that about any other Iowa athlete. I'm talking about Hawkeye, period. And here she is, a freshman. So I think that this is something, this is truly a phenomenon, something like we have not seen in Iowa sports. And I'm really curious at what it's going to be like next season at her games. Because I got to think that this is going to – I mean, Iowa's had a lot of good teams over the years and decades. They've had Big Ten champions. They had a Final Four team. Megan Gustafson just a couple years ago was the National Player of the Year, you know. So it's not like Iowa doesn't know about what it's like to have a women's basketball superstar. But I got to think that this is going to turn into something more than that, that the spotlight's going to be hot and constant, and it's going to be an event every time they play.
And she'll have two more years after that, maybe. Perhaps. Should be.
Yeah, right, right. And plus, they're bringing in players. They're bringing in players. I don't claim to be an authority on this, but I think it's from Colorado. Somebody's coming in who's a top 50 recruit and fitting a position need on the front line. And just about everybody, not everybody, but just about everybody of importance on that roster is coming back. And there are other good players on that team, you know. That post player had a terrific year, Cezano. And, it really exciting thing down there. And as you said about Iowa State, you know, that – was a team probably should have been in the Sweet 16, and you can bark about the officiating all you want, but Ashley Jones is fifth in the country in scoring, you know.
Yeah.
Sophomore, 24 points a night, playing in the Big 12, which is mighty good women's college basketball. So, and they've got just about the whole outfit coming back. So this, believe it or not, the state could be the epicenter of women's college basketball. And the way that the women's basketball thing is, you can feel it. A lot of people are watching these games who haven't really been watching before. The ball gets a little better all the time. And I watched just about the entire Final Four. Last night's game was kind of ragged, but intense. But that UConn-Arizona semifinal was tremendous. The UConn-Baylor game, of course, was sensational. The Stanford-South Carolina game was just a white knuckler. They've got themselves a very good product.
And the best thing about it is, even as late as 5-6 years ago, it was a canyon between the top 4 or 5 teams and the rest of women's basketball. And that is becoming more narrow and narrow and narrow. Indiana beats a number one seed. UConn beat Iowa by 20, but they played very, very well. Arizona beat a number one to get to the national championship. You're seeing what did not take place 10 years ago, and that you had pretty much chalk for the women's tournament. And you're not seeing that quite as much now.
Right. Things have spread around a little bit. Arizona getting to the Final Four was a great story. Mississippi State a couple of years ago. Great story. What Indiana did was terrific this year. And that's what they need. They need really good teams in all pockets. They don't need the SEC and Connecticut dominating everything. It's becoming a national entity. It really is. And you can win anywhere. I've always said that that's one of the things I like about basketball is you can win anywhere. And you're seeing more of that now in the women's game.
You have a pick in tonight's men's championship game, Mike?
I don't know. What's the spread on that deal?
I think it's 4 or 5 in favor of Gonzaga.
God, Baylor's got a good team. Baylor's got a good team. But I'll always take the team that's got more NBA players, and that's Gonzaga. Gonzaga's got two guys who are supposed to go in the top 10. And I think Drew Timmy has been as good as any player in the whole tournament, the center. So I have a hard time seeing the Zags lose, but if anybody can beat them, they're playing them tonight.
You enjoy it because you don't get the two best teams in the country playing in the final game very often.
No, I remember they were supposed to play each other in the non-conference,
yep,
and it didn't happen, and it was very disappointing. And as it turns out, maybe it's for the best.
Might be. Might be. I'll leave you with this.
What's the pregame show coming on at 6 o'clock for when the game's not till 8:15?
Because Bill Walton's on it.
Yeah, he could talk for 2 hours and 15 minutes, but I think at the 90-minute mark, I'm kind of...
He did on Saturday. And I'm not fibbing that far.
He knew something that the rest of the world didn't. I mean, the Big Ten, God, we talked about that last week, but what a disaster.
Yeah. Two things real quick, Mike. I got to get this Fran Fraschilla quote in because I love Fran Fraschilla. He says, the transfer portal is open and student-athletes are flooding through it. Yes, freedom of movement, finding a better fit, yada, yada, yada. But some of it is a pure inability to handle the slightest adversity that sports brings. I thought that was very good of Fran Fraschilla.
I disagree with him. I mean, of course, but guess what? That's human beings always strive to find what's best for them.
True.
You have, I have, everybody we know has, and to me, more power to everybody who can get as much control over their own lives as possible.
Masters, you will be taking it in from not from Augusta this year, I assume, correct?
No.
All right.
I don't know. I'm you know, some white guy will win it probably.
Thanks for staying at the Gazette for 50 years, Mike. Appreciate it.
50!
The next 50 are going to be even better.
All right. Hey, Mike, we'll talk again and keep up the great work.
Okay. Have a good spring.
All right. Mike Halas joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. As Masters, we'll talk about coming up on Wednesday as it gets underway from Augusta National on Thursday. Caddy Smack coming your way on Wednesday. Tomorrow, Mike Petrillo will join us. We'll talk about Major League Baseball, which is underway, of course, the first series. Other than the Nationals and the Mets, they did not get to play baseball over the weekend. And the Nats going to try it tomorrow. Your Twins, did they get to 13 yet, Mark, real quick?
They have a 2-touchdown lead, 15-1.
It is 15-1. They went beyond 13, so the Twins are off to a very, very fine start. We've got Bill Walton and the rest of the Westwood One crew tonight at 6 o'clock with the national championship game. Who you got?
Gonzaga by about 10.
I'm going to go with the Zags as well. More on tonight's game with Todd and Alex are coming up next right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
At Menards, save big money in your next project with 11% off everything. General Purpose Concrete Mix is great for sidewalks, steps, patios, and setting posts. All you have to do is add water, mix, and pour. Right now.